The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, Harvest. Man, I love our church. I just do. I love that Mitch felt comfortable just doing a pirate R in the middle. We're just real people, and I just love that about you guys. So how's everybody doing? Good. I am honored to be speaking to you this morning, and by honored, I mean that I am really nervous, so just going to get that out there. Go easy on me. As you know, Tyler just said that we have a big part of our team in Juarez, Mexico, and Jason asked if I could fill in for him, and this time I said yes, because he has actually asked me for 2 years. To speak on a Sunday morning, and every single time I come up with like this amazing and very valid excuse as to why I cannot do it. I'm comfortable in front of our women and offering and announcements and all that is no big deal, but this is outside of my comfort zone a little, but my theme for the year 2018 is do the hard thing. Doesn't that sound like a fun theme for the year? Do the hard thing. I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I always pray, and I just ask God, like, if there's a word or a phrase that he wants to drop in my spirit for the new year, and this year's was do the hard thing, so here I am. I'm doing the hard thing, and I'm just pushing past insecurities and pride and asking God to speak through me this morning. But if it's your first time here, I want to encourage you to come back next week, because my husband's pretty awesome. Obviously, I think that. He's a gifted communicator, but more than that, his heart is to see our community reach for Jesus. And so I encourage you to come back and be a part of that. But this morning, I want us to start by reading our theme verse together. We always have a theme verse for the year. I especially love this one this year. And then we'll pray and position our hearts as we always do, just for the Lord to speak to us. So Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 in the Message. Let's see if it's up. Oh, wait. There we go. Okay, ready? Here we go. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit, deeply and gently within us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to meet with you. Do, Lord, what only you can do. Work deeply and gently within us. I pray that you would form us into the image that you would want us to be in. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do the hard thing of opening our hearts to you so that our lives can be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is the last sermon in a series that we've been in called Addicted to Busy. And while I know that a lot of you probably could identify with my husband over the last few weeks in his need and his struggle with wanting to constantly stay busy, I'm also aware that the other half of you might be wired a little bit more like me. I am not a multitasker by nature. Do I have anybody in the room that feels me? Is anybody not a multitasker by nature? The same thing happened. Okay, in the first service, same thing. All men raise their hands. Same thing. And if you look, psychologists and studies that have been done, they say women are way better multitaskers than men. That is not the case for Jason and I. I much rather prefer to focus on one thing and to do that one thing really well. But we all know that life is not made up of just one thing. It would be nice if it was, but it's not. Even those of us that aren't multitaskers and aren't addicted to busy, a lot of us will find ourselves in a season where we are busy by necessity and not by choice. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Some of you may kind of, that might have resonated a little bit when I said that. Maybe you find yourself in a season of busy that you were just kind of put in, that you were kind of stumbled into. Maybe some of you were happily married a few years ago, but this morning you're looking in the mirror, you're a single mom, you're holding down a full-time job, you're trying to make ends meet for you and your kids. Maybe as my parents were a few years ago, maybe you're taking care of your elderly parents who are aging and they need constant around-the-clock care and that's pulling you in lots of different directions. Maybe some of you were hitting retirement and you were like ready to travel, and now you find that you're raising your grandchildren because your children couldn't do that. Or maybe it's not something traumatic. Maybe you're a college student and you're working full time to pay for classes. You're also going to 18 hours of classes, and because you're working so hard to pay for those classes, you don't have time to study for them, and the cycle just continues and it goes over and over and over. So a lot of us might just be finding yourself in this season, and you can't figure out how to navigate because you're just trying to keep your head above the water. You might feel overwhelmed, and you don't know how there's any possibility that you can actually thrive. You're just trying to survive this season. But I've got good news for you. If you identify with any of that, you can not only survive, but you really can thrive in the season that you're in as well. I want us to begin by taking a fresh look at the familiar story of Mary and Martha in Luke. About a week ago, I asked Jason, I'm like, have you talked about Mary and Martha yet? And he's like, no. And I said, okay, that's where I'm going. Like, that's the scripture for us this week. So I'm going to read it. It says, this is Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. Can you just say that? Martha, Martha. I can just see him just kind of like, come on now. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. One of the things I really like about this passage is when we read it, depending on how you're wired, you're either going to be Team Mary or you're going to be Team Martha, okay? So how many, just let me do like a quick little poll. Team Mary, raise your hand. You're just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Team Martha, you're like cooking and busy and doing, right? Okay, so that's what I was thinking. If you're Team Martha, then you're thinking, Mary, you are a lazy bum. And if you would just get off of your butt and you would come and help me, then things would get done a lot quicker. And you're thinking, man, Martha has amazing work ethic, doesn't she? But if you're Team Mary, you're like, Mary is doing the right thing. She's spending time at the feet of Jesus. And Martha is a workaholic, a perfectionist, and a whiner. That's what she is. So if you're a doer, if you're a worker bee, and it looks like a lot of you were, you're probably on Team Martha, which means as you read this story, you might be a little defensive and saying, come on, Jesus, give her a break. She was trying to serve you. Hello, she was trying to feed you a meal, right? Somebody has to feed the people. But when we really dig into this story, we see that Martha's problems, her problem wasn't in the preparation. Her problem was that instead she was worried, as Jesus said, and upset about many things, because we all have bills to pay and mouths to feed and things to do. But it's in the attitude of the work while we do it. The Bible says that she was distracted from being with Jesus because of her worries about the task that needed to be done. Her problem wasn't the work, it was the attitude towards the work. And then the Bible says that Mary chose the better of the thing, which was resting, worshiping in the presence of Jesus. And today, I want to suggest to you that we don't have to choose one or the other. I want to suggest to you that we can do both. We can worship and work at the same time. In fact, I believe that it's the only way that we really can survive in a season of busyness. So how can we live in that balance of worship and work when we're thrown into it? The first point is to prioritize Jesus over everything. In this story, it was really obvious that Martha was trying super hard to let everybody know how busy she was. And I think that we've all been there. I know I have. If you're a mom, you've probably been there. If you have a husband, you've probably been there. Maybe you're in the kitchen. Everybody else is lounging on the couch watching the football game. And you're like the only one there. And you're kind of banging pots and pans just a little bit harder while you're putting. And maybe you're putting the glasses up, but you slam that cabinet just to let everybody know, hey, I'm here, and it would be nice if you would come in and give me some help, right? Have anybody Anybody? Okay. I didn't know if it was just me. It reminds me of when our oldest daughter, Mercy, was a baby. So she was our first. Everything was new. And I just wanted to do everything just so perfect and right. And she got up and cried in the middle of the night. And I just kind of like slip out of bed and tiptoe over to her little bassinet and pick her up. And I'd feed her and change her diaper. And I'd like crawl back in. I didn't want to wake up Jason. You know, he was sleeping and he needed to rest. He had work in the morning. And so I'm just, go ahead, just lay there, be peaceful. That did not last long, let me tell you. That got old really, really fast. And I found myself not long after just kind of like making a big deal, getting out of it, like pushing the covers over. And as he said a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, he sleeps really, really hard, and he does. So I had to make like a big effort. So I'm like getting out, and then I'm going over and have to turn off the light because I didn't want to trip, right? So I turned on the light, and then I'm getting Mercy, and then I'm holding her, and she's crying, and I just find myself on his side of the bed, just happen to be there with a crying baby, and then eventually I'm like, get up! Are you just going to lay there? She's crying! I've been up 3 times already, right? And that's kind of how Mary felt, I think. You know, when you're sleep-deprived, you get desperate, right? Mary was a little desperate at this point. Martha, not Mary, sorry. Martha was desperate at this point. She was really fuming. Her house was full of people. She had dinner to prepare. She was like, it's going to be late if somebody doesn't help me, but Mary's not helping me. And finally, Martha just couldn't take it anymore, and she stormed. I mean, that takes some guts. Like, to storm over to Jesus? She's like storming over to Jesus. She goes up to him, and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. It reminds me of my kids. Like, hey, I'm cleaning up the playroom all by myself. She should help me. No, she was kind of tattling on her sister. She's saying, it's not fair. But when you get down to the heart of what Mary was really saying, she was saying, Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing all of this for you? That's what she was saying. And Jesus, in turn, was telling Martha, Martha, don't you care that I'm here at your house for you? And you're the one running around? I didn't ask you to do any of the things you're doing, right? Fixing a meal for the Savior of the world was important. It was selfless. It was an act of service. It was good, but good is oftentimes the enemy of God's best in our lives. We have to be willing to shift our priorities to what's best instead of only what's good. Martha was being distracted by the opportunity to be with the Savior of the world by these good things. And sometimes even good things can fill up our lives so much that we neglect our souls. And that's what Martha was doing. Jesus didn't want Martha to work for him. He wanted to do a work in Martha. But she had to get out of the way. So regardless of how busy we are and how many directions we're pulled in, our number one priority in life must be Jesus. Jason's dad, my father-in-law, Mike Dickinson, says a lot, make the main thing the main thing. And I remember hearing him say that, and I'm like, of course, I don't even, like, what are you talking about, right? But what he's saying is the main thing in our lives has to be, needs to be Jesus. And the only way that we can really thrive is by keeping him in the center of all of it. Nothing's more important as hearing the voice of God. Nothing is more important as sitting at his feet. Nothing is more important as knowing him and his will for our lives. And if we do that, then everything else will fall into place. So by all means, yes, do the work that God has called you to do. But while you do it, practice sitting at his feet. Practice resting in his presence. And what you'll find, I promise you, is that you can accomplish way more being in his presence than you ever could on your own without him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in the Message, this is one of my favorite passages, says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This is Jesus's promise. If we only invite him to come, if we only invite him to be a part of our lives, if we prioritize Jesus over everything, we can really live this life freely and live it with grace. So that's the first. Prioritize Jesus over everything. The second thing we need to keep in mind as we balance between worship and work is prioritize relationships over activity. When we're busy, activity is prioritized over relationships. And what Martha missed, like it was so obvious, is Jesus was in her house, right? But also, she missed the fact that her friends, her family, her neighbors, there were lots of people there too. And so she was hurrying all over with the things that needed to get done. She was prioritizing the activity over the people, but Jesus is way more concerned about us being than doing. And, you know, we have a hard time grasping that in American culture. Martha was busy for Jesus, and that left her no time to be with Jesus. He was sitting in her living room, but she was in the kitchen making vegetables for him, right? And no doubt Jesus needed to eat, as we said, but Jesus valued relationships over everything. And I can bet you that he would have been just as happy with some hummus and pita chips as he was with this big giant spread. And some theologians even say that when Jesus says, you know, you're worried about all these things, only one thing is needed. Some of them say they think it meant him saying, hey, I don't need a lot to eat. We just need one thing. You know, Jesus didn't ask her to do all of these other things. Instead, it's easy for us as a society, as Christians, to get busy doing things for God and we no longer have time for him. And it's even more common for us as a church to get busy doing things here for God and not have time for the people that are right here in front of us. I led our staff meeting a couple weeks ago and we talked about this. As church leaders, we, especially here at this church, at a smaller church, we wear multiple hats. We all spearhead lots of different initiatives and departments. All of us except Jason are bivocational. So that means we are working full time. And then we come to like the second job, which is another work full time. And we're busy, a lot of us. And in all of our busyness, it's very easy to lose focus on what really matters. And that's relationship. It's not in the details of Sunday morning service and how it should be just so perfect. It's not in the lights and the sound, and it's not in the details of our next big major outreach. You know, we do a ton of outreaches here at Harvest, but that all has to be done. But it's not what it's all about. What it's about and what really matters is the people. So think of the missed opportunity for us to go through ministry and life as Christians, prioritizing tasks instead of prioritizing people who are desperate for Jesus, whether they know it or not. When we lose focus of why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing, we have room for discouragement and burnout and unfulfillment. So we need to shift our focus to what Jesus prioritized here on earth, and he prioritized relationships. That's what he cared about, his relationship with his disciples, his relationship with his heavenly Father, and his relationship with the lost. That's what he prioritized, and if we're going to follow him, those are the things that we need to prioritize as well. So let's remember, it's about the people. It's about the people. And then the third way that we can learn to live in this balance of work and worship is to prioritize intentionality over routine. There may be things that you're doing right now that God never asked you to do. You know, maybe you're doing them out of guilt or because you thought you had to or because everyone else was doing it. Or maybe out in the core of it, it's out of a desire to feel important. Maybe it's a desire to look important and feel needed in the eyes of everyone else. We seem to value our time so little that our worth is based on how little time we actually have. If you think of Jason, a couple weeks ago, he was talking about, you know, when you go up to someone, you say, hey, how's everything going? And they say, busy, busy. And you look and, oh man, they're probably really important, right? We value people based on how busy they are. And that's not the way that Jesus showed us. He took the world systems and he turned it all upside down. So in other words, we idolize being busy and we confuse it with being important. I want you to think about how many energy drinks are on the market right now. Like a ton. I don't drink them, and I'm not judging if you do, but there are tons of energy drinks on the market. There are patches and pills and shakes you can take so that you can have more energy. They are all geared towards you not resting. Drink instead so you can do more, right? But I'm here to encourage you not to buy into the lie that busy is better. Busy does not equate better. Don't get caught up in the captivity of the activities that you are surrounding yourself with. Yes, we all have work to do, and there are seasons of busy that are, you know, you're busy more than the other, but when you're overstressed and overscheduled and you're preoccupied, it only distracts us from the real relationships that we need to focus on, God and others. How many things do we do thinking that Jesus wants us to do them when all Jesus wants is our hearts? In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not man." Our desire is to please him, not to please man. And a lot of times we get that little priority out of whack. So focusing on intentionality and being intentional with what we do instead of the routine that we're on. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me as I kind of get ready to close. I can relate to Martha in this season of life that I'm in right now, and I'm sure a lot of you can as well. It was August of 2013 that was the beginning of this season for me. I was a stay-at-home mom for 9 years, and I'm that type of mom that actually really loves being with my kids. I know some of you are like, how many weeks until they graduate and get out of here, right? But I actually really enjoy being a mom and spending time with my babies. We were serving in ministry at a church that we thrived in. We were a part of a really loving community that God had placed us in. We had strong friendships that supported us. And I was living in the same town as my sister, like 5 minutes away, which my niece, my nephews, and brother-in-law. Our marriage had just been through like a really, really rough patch, but we had overcome that. We were on the other side of it, and life was good, and things felt really good. And then life was interrupted in the most amazing but also difficult way. God called us here to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I always knew that I was called to be in the ministry. From the time I was a little girl, my mom can tell you that people would say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I'd say, "I want to be a pastor." And they'd say, "Well, do you mean you want to be a pastor's wife?" And I'd say, "No, I'm going to be the pastor," which I don't want that anymore, just so you can take a deep breath. That's not my goal in life, is to dethrone Jason. But I always knew that I wanted to be in ministry, and that was my desire. But I wanted it on my terms in my mind, and I wanted it on my timeline, in my geographic location, in my fantasy of what it should look like. But God's plans are higher than ours, aren't they? So in just a few weeks, I went from living to Texas to living in New Mexico, from being a stay-at-home mom to working 40 hours plus a week. I went from having one child in school to having all three in school so that I could work full-time and teach. I went from being the wife of a church staff member to being the lead pastor's wife. I went from living 5 minutes away from my sister to living hundreds of miles and 21 hours away from my mom and dad. I went from a tight-knit community of friends to only knowing a very small handful of people. And basically, this I know it sounds like a sob story, but like I went from home-cooked organic meals, like I was that mom, to like, let's drive through Chick-fil-A, grab what you can, eat it in the car, because I am exhausted and my head just crashed on the pillow. And then I'd start it all again at 5 a.m. And on the outside, in front of everybody, I held it all together, balancing all the spinning plates, and looked really good. But on the inside, all those wobbly plates were falling and crashing faster than I could clean them up. And most nights, in those first few months, I would find myself just crying into my pillow at night saying, "God, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I can't jump through all these hoops. I can't hold all these plates. I can't be everything to everyone and do it perfectly." And that's because I'm a perfectionist. And if you're a perfectionist like me, you know how exhausting it can be. But I couldn't keep up the facade that everything was okay when it wasn't. And about this time, I started to have like these severe stomach issues. Every time I would eat, I would kind of like double over. And I'm just like intense pain. I'm like, what is going on? And just, you know, cramping, and I couldn't understand it. It'd be at work, at lunch, dinner, breakfast, it didn't matter. And finally, I just had enough, and I was like, I'm going to Pharmaca, not to the doctor, to Pharmaca, because I'm a hippie, and they do like homeopathic, organic, you know, like I don't go to the doctor, I'm going to go to Pharmaca. So I walk in the door, and I go and talk to this pharmacist, and I kind of tell him the way I'm feeling and what's been going on just in my body. And the first question that he asked me is, have you had any recent major life changes? And like my eyes just started welling up with tears. And I'm like, yep, it's going to happen right here in Pharmaca. And sure enough, I just start crying. And I tell him about my journey over the past 3 months. And I'm sure he was like, this lady is crazy. I was going to give her some herbs and send her on her way. And she's like bawling in the middle of my store. But that night, as I was putting the girls to bed, after I put them to bed, I got alone with Jesus. And he spoke to me. And if you get alone with Jesus, he will speak to you. He will. If you say, God, here I am, reveal yourself to me. I promise he will if you give him the chance. And he said, Lisa, why have you been trying to do this all alone? Why are you trying to navigate all of this without me? Do you believe that I called you and Jason and the girls to New Mexico? Yes, God, I do. Well, if you do, then believe my word that I will equip those that I call to do the work that I've called them to do. And then he reminded me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not faint. Lisa, throw aside your perfectionism, because in your weakness, I am made strong. Lisa, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And Jesus and I continued to talk for a really long time. And that night, everything changed for me. I exchanged my stress for his peace. I exchanged my perfectionism for his grace. I exchanged my independence because I have this strong independent streak. I exchanged that for a total dependence on him. And I exchanged my expectations for his plans that far exceeded anything I could ever ask or imagine. And today, right now, I still work 40 hours plus a week. And I have 3 kids and 4 if you count Jason. I am still a pastor's wife. And I still have some pretty large responsibilities here at church, but I can honestly stand here and say that I am not overwhelmed. Sure, I still have my days of craziness, and I still have to prioritize my time, and I have to be very careful about what I say yes to and what I say no to, and I have my moments of being in over my head, but those are just moments. They are not my norm. They are not my rhythm of life anymore. And people ask me a lot, how do you do it all? How can you juggle everything? How do you do it all, Lisa? At work, they ask me. Here at church, they ask me. And honestly, I'm very uncomfortable with that question. And my answer might sound a little cliche to you, but I always say it's only by the grace of God. It's not me, but it's Christ working within me. Without him, I'm a mess. I am, and I can't accomplish even a fraction of what I can, but with him by my side, I can do anything in this season of life that he has called me to. And your story might be different than mine, and I know that a lot of you have gone through way harder seasons than being moved across the country, so I was actually a little apprehensive to even share it. But what I want you to know is that just like he spoke to me in my season, he can speak to you in your season, that he can bring rest to your souls. That's what he wants to do. He's there for you. And we're just running around, trying to do it all on our own. And he's saying, stop, just be with me. Be with me, Martha, be with me. So going back to the story of Mary and Martha, later in John 12:2, we see Martha again, and a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, and Martha was there, and she was serving again. But this time, the Bible didn't record any complaining from her. No complaining from Martha this time. Why? I believe it's because a shift had taken place in her heart. Her eyes had been opened to who Jesus really was. She just wasn't serving a teacher anymore. She wasn't just serving a prophet. She wasn't just serving a friend. Instead, she was serving the Son of God who had raised her brother from the dead. He had transformed not only her life, but the lives of her entire family. And knowing that she was in his presence was all she needed to be able to work and worship at the same time. And that's what he wants for us as well. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Before we close, I want to pray for all the Marthas that are here. Maybe you can identify because you are in a season of busy by necessity and not by choice, and you're really struggling with it. Maybe it's not tasks, but maybe you're in a season of busy in your mind. Maybe your mind is running in 50 different directions and you don't know how to calm it. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you're tired and you're just ready to invite him into your situation. And if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to stand, but if you could just raise your hand, because I want to know as I pray, you just raise your hand and let me know that you identify with that. And then we're going to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person in this room that raised their hand. This is the first step in acknowledging that we need you. We can't do this life on our own. God, we've tried and we make a mess of things. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for stepping into each and every one of our situations and circumstances. God, we invite you right now to come alongside of us, Lord. We ask that our eyes would be open to all that you have for us. We ask that a shift would take place and happen in our hearts, Lord. We ask, God, that as we remember to prioritize you over everything in our life, God, that you will cause it all to work for your glory and for our good. God, we thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Harvest, thanks for letting me speak to you this morning. I'm going to give you the blessing as Jason does every week. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.